Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 10th. And I have in front of me 10 of the new words, 10 out of 100 of the new words that have been included in the new updated edition of the American Heritage College Dictionary. Some of them are actually phrases, and I've heard of most of them, but not all of them. And one of the words I don't think I can pronounce. But we'll find out this hour what makes a new word worthy of inclusion in a dictionary this hour, where these new words come from, and we'll wonder if you agree or not that they should be included in a dictionary. And if 100 words were added to this updated dictionary this year, does that mean some words were taken out? Are some words obsolete in order to make room for the new ones? We will welcome your questions for our guest about new words, maybe new words that you're hearing these days. We'll talk some about the evolution of language in general and the dictionary business at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. That's toll free from wherever you're listening. If you're in Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890, or send us an email, talk at WPR.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. As I mentioned before the news, I put on a cosmeceutical this morning. I didn't know that that's what it was called until I read over the material for the program yesterday. Do you know what a cosmeceutical is? How about a mojito? Have you ever gone speed dating? We'll talk about new words, new language this hour, and I hope you'll join in. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Steve Kleinedler. He is senior editor of the American Heritage Dictionaries. In addition to reviewing and revising thousands of entries, he is assistant project editor of the American Heritage College Dictionary, 4th edition. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks a lot for being with us. So, how often do you add new words to the dictionary?
Fairly frequently. The American Heritage College Dictionary that you have in front of your hands was a completely new edition in 2002, and at that time we added thousands of new words, and then every so often we refresh it by adding, in this case, another 100 words. We do that every year or two to keep up with the change in language. So to answer some of the questions you brought up, which are really good questions, in 2002, because it was a completely new edition, it was recreated from scratch, and therefore it wasn't an issue of dropping other stuff to include other stuff. We just changed the style of the type style and everything in the book to put in more material. This time around, to add these 100 words, it's not like we had to cut out 100 things to fit it in. We do creative things. We sometimes shorten other definitions on the same page, or dwarf planet, for example, is a good example of how we make stuff fit. It happens to fit on the second to last page of D, so we just move some text from the second to last page to the last page and just filled out the last page, which was a little short.
But sometimes I would think that there might be a word that's just not used anymore, or maybe there are words that are obsolete that are dropped, or aren't they?
We tend to not put in a word unless we are confident that it's going to have some staying power, and as a result, we take out far less than we put in. When we made the fourth edition in 2002, we added several thousand words, and we probably took out, I would say, less than 50, probably closer to 20.
And so when is a word deemed worthy of inclusion in the dictionary?
It depends on the kind of word. Some words, all it takes is a wave of the hand from the people in charge, for example, when the body that decides the names of elements decides that, okay, element 110 will be called Darmstadium. It just takes the pronouncement from that group of physicists or chemists, and, well, that's all you need. And
no,
you
obviously.
Put it in. And then with other words, we look at a wide variety of newspapers, periodicals. We watch cable news, we listen to the news, we read voraciously. And when a word starts popping up, across the country, in different kinds of print media, we get a sense of whether it's, again, got staying power or how widespread it is. And there's just a lot of different factors depending on the kind of word, whether it's a food term, is it appearing in menus and reviews without glosses? That is, if it looks like it came from Italian or Japanese or something, do people refer to this term without glossing what it means in English, for example? So you'll see a lot of cuisine items that are pretty much considered English now, whereas 30 or 40 years ago, very few Americans were familiar with them.
Yeah. Well, one of the words that I can't pronounce, or I'm not sure how to pronounce, that's on the list of the 10 new words that I have, is an artificially produced radioactive element with atomic number 111 and a mass of 280.
Yeah,
what would that be?
Roentgenium. It's named after the physicist Wilhelm Röntgen, whose name in German has those German sounds that I can't do that well. But the name for the element itself has been anglicized, and it's Roentgenium.
And the reason that's there is the physicist told you that that's what
exactly,
it is.
Exactly. The IUPAC, the International Union of, something in chemists. Mm-hmm. Something like that. They're the ones who decide what the new elements are going to be called.
We are talking about new words and the 100 new words that were added to the newest edition of the American Heritage College Dictionary. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, April the 10th. Gene Purcell is in for Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6. After 5, Gene's guest says, many key military leaders in Iraq and Afghanistan have zero combat experience, and that's the reason we're losing the war on terror. That's after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about new words, the new words that were added to the latest edition, the updated edition of the American Heritage College Dictionary. 100 new words were added. I have 10 of them here, and we welcome your nominations. Maybe you've heard of a new word or phrase recently and are wondering if it is in the dictionary. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Steve Kleinedler. He is senior editor of the American Heritage Dictionaries. And don't have people calling in to guess the definition of the one word, a couple of the words that I mentioned earlier, Steve, so let's talk about them.
Certainly.
Cosmeceutical, is that the way you pronounce that?
Yes. And it, of course, is a blend of the word cosmetic and pharmaceutical.
And I did put, I didn't know that that's what I was using, but I think it's what I'm using when I put on a makeup that has like a sunscreen in it and anti-wrinkle agents in it.
That's precisely what it is. a cosmetic that has or is purported to have medicinal properties. And it is, especially if you look at fashion magazines or those kinds of things, in the past several years, this term has just popped up all over the place as the companies that make these try to market them in a way that will appeal to the savvy consumer.
Yeah, I just call them wrinkle creams.
Yeah. So not only are you making yourself look more radiant or whatever, but it's actually good for you.
Yeah. I don't know. Wait, is that popular culture? Is that where we get a lot of these new words?
Many of them, for certain. You're going to get a lot from technology. You're going to get them from science and medicine. And you're going to get them from popular culture. I mentioned food words earlier. In 2000, when we put out the fourth edition of the American Heritage Deluxe Dictionary, it was amazing. Hundreds of terms were food items that had risen to prominence in the States in the 90s as people's palates expanded.
Yeah.
And we went beyond meat and potatoes.
Like what?
Oh, boy. Well, for this new one, we've just added fattoush, which is a Middle Eastern salad made from bread and cucumbers, tomatoes, mince. If you go to a Lebanese restaurant or a Syrian restaurant, it will figure prominently on the menu. And edamame, the green soybeans that you'll get when you go to a sushi restaurant, for example. Those are some of the newest ones that we've added, but in the past 10 years, all kinds of pastas, all types of different kinds of Spanish peppers, Latin American peppers, and just foods from all around the globe. As again, as we go beyond meat and potatoes,
edamame—that's how you pronounce that. I didn't know that.
Edamame.
I've eaten it, but pronounced it wrong.
It's very good, it's good for you too, depending on how much one salts it, I guess.
Yeah. But here's one: mojito.
Mojito, yes.
Now that's an alcoholic drink,
right? Made from rum and sugar, lime juice, mint. You muddle the mint with a muddler. Very popular. It's a drink that became kind of trendy and rose to prominence within the past couple of years. I believe we've also recently added cachaça, which is a we added cachaça too, which is an ingredient of a caipirinha, which is a Brazilian drink. This is another example of following the trends and seeing what people are drinking. And we still have all the old-fashioned ones, like the old-fashioned and sidecars and whatnot.
Well, one that was a word before, but then was named after, was given to a drink, is the cosmopolitan.
That is correct.
I assume so. You have cosmopolitan with its different definitions, and then perhaps plus an alcoholic drink on Sex and the City?
We've actually just recently added that one. Very recently. I don't think it's in this print edition yet, but it'll be in the next one.
Yeah. And you might have some of these drinks while you are speed dating.
Yes. Speed dating is a phenomenon that, this is an example of a word that didn't go in as early as it might have. Again, we don't want to put words in until we know that we're probably not going to take them out. Speed dating's been around for a while, but when it first came out, you have to wonder, okay, is this a pop culture phenomenon that's going to hit and then go away immediately? This is the type of word that we're going to watch for a little bit, see if it has staying power, see if it sticks around. Who's talking about it? Who's writing about it? After the 15th millionth profile by the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or something, you realize it's probably going to be here to stay for a while.
Yeah. Now, and I'm not being critical here, but Texas Hold'em has been around for quite some time. That's the first time we put it in the dictionary.
Exactly. It's been around since the 60s. Mm-hmm. And one reason we recently put it in is because with all the cable channels giving, putting these tournaments on the air, it's only really risen to the heights of popular culture in the last couple of years. Prior to 1999, 2000, if you went to a casino, you probably would find most people in the card rooms playing stud poker, and the only people who really knew about Texas Hold'em were not so much well-known at that time poker players. But because of the television shows that were airing this, it's become more and more popular. We've got, for example, the dictionary covers things like bridge and canasta really well. And, 20 years ago, this game just wasn't as well known as it is today. And so that's an example of something that's been around for a while, but has only recently risen to popular consciousness.
Yeah, we have Tim and Hudson on the line, and we do have an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Or 263-1890 if you have a question about, a new word or phrase that you wonder if it's in the dictionary now. Talk some about the evolution of language. Any questions you have about words in the dictionary, welcome. Tim in Hudson is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm wondering your guest thought on the word bushism. It's used quite a bit in popular culture, quite a bit, honestly, on where I get a lot of my news, The Daily Show.
Right. Well, a word like that, in terms of staying power, since he's still currently in office, you're going to hear a lot about it. You'd want to see how the word sticks around after he's out of office. Also, the ISM, the ism suffix, is what we call a productive suffix, and we enter a large number of prefixes and suffixes in the dictionary. And, you know, you could add ism to almost any proper name, and you would have something that you would have a term that other people would understand. That isn't to say that there aren't times where you do enter such, you know, isms like Marxism, for example, but that's, you know, become a political ideology above and beyond what Karl Marx had. So that's the type of word that we probably wouldn't enter, definitely not until, you know, several years after he's left office, and even then maybe not, if the meaning of it is understood by knowing what the suffix ism means.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Tim, for the call.
Yep.
A couple of political entries that I see here. You have entered blue state and red state.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. They've certainly become, they've risen to prominence in the past several years. It's the type of thing that, in 2000, 2002, you might not be sure how long it's going to hang around, and it's hanging around. It's become for the media, a convenient shorthand of, describing the political leanings of an area. And of course, you take a word like red, where when applied to politicians 40 years ago, it would have meant communist, and now it means Republican and Republican leaning, and blue, of course, with the Democratic. So it's a nice example of a language change.
Yeah, you also have some though who say, you know what, there are some states that are
purple
states. What about that?
I know that's something we've studied. I'm going to check and see if we've. No, we have not added that, although it's definitely on a list of consideration. But you're right, a area that's either in flux or changing, or there is no clear-cut majority.
Yeah, now one that just occurred to me that was huge in 2000, but maybe now with changes doesn't have that staying power that you talk about, Hanging Chad.
Well, there is a very interesting Hanging Chad itself as a phrase, if you know what a Chad is, hanging Chad is what we would call a self-evident compound. Chad itself, this is a very interesting story. Chad itself is a old term. In fact, Chad is in and has been in our dictionary since the first edition back in the 60s, Chad being an important part of punch card technology. In fact, when we were working on the fourth edition in the late 90s, here's a reason why we don't take words out. We actually discussed deleting the word Chad because it belonged to a technology that was completely obsolescent, and we couldn't see any need for it. But at the same time, I and some of the editors on the staff pointed out that there were some states that still used punch cards in elections. I had lived in Illinois until the mid-90s, and at that time, at least the precincts in which I voted used punch cards, for example. And on the basis of that, we decided to keep it in, and boy, are we glad we did, because it became a very prominent word in 2000.
We're going to check our news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio and hear more about that unfortunate weather forecast, and then we'll continue talking about new words that are being added to the dictionary. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, April the 10th, and we are talking about new words. This hour, words that have just made it into the dictionary, words and phrases. We're wondering what makes a new word worthy of inclusion in a dictionary. We're talking about where some of these new words come from. And we're welcoming your questions about words and whether or not you've heard perhaps a new word or phrase recently and are wondering if it's made it officially into the language by being included in the dictionary. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We will welcome your questions for our guest, who is the senior editor of the American Heritage Dictionaries. There is a new updated edition of the American Heritage College Dictionary that's out, and 100 new words were added to it. I have in front of me a list of about 10 of those new words. So we have plenty to talk about. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Perhaps you're hearing new words in the media or maybe in your line of business. We'll find out if these words have been included in the dictionary this hour. And I think we'll talk some, too, about the dictionary business in general and how the internet might be changing the dictionary business. Our guest is Steve Kleinedler, senior editor of the American Heritage Dictionaries. In addition to reviewing and revising thousands of entries, he is assistant project editor for the American Heritage College Dictionary, fourth edition, published by Houghton Mifflin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Now, we've talked about a number of the 10 new words that I have in front of me, which included rontgenium, which is an artificially produced radioactive element. We've talked about Texas Hold'em, the poker game in which players receive two cards and share five cards. We've talked about fattoush, a salad made from moistened toasted bread, cucumbers, tomatoes, mint, and other ingredients. Edamame, which is fresh green soybeans. How about speed dating, the organized method of meeting potential romantic partners in which participants evaluate each other during a single event through a series of brief one-on-one meetings? Speed dating. Mojito, an alcoholic drink made of rum, sugar, lime juice, crushed mint leaves, soda water, and shaved ice. What about, Steve, the shout-out? That's one of the 10 new words I have in front of me.
Yes, and there's a good example of very much a pop culture and informal, almost slangy terms. A shout-out, of course, is a public expression of thanks or gratitude. So, for example, I know you're in Madison. I could give a shout-out to all the people over at the Dictionary of American Regional English, who are based at University of Wisconsin there in Madison. Just a way of acknowledging one's friends or colleagues or people who deserve recognition in some way.
Well, I know the regional English dictionary has Bubbler in it from Wisconsin. Does yours?
Do we have Bubbler? We may.
That's what we call water fountains in Wisconsin.
Bubbler, yes. Yes, we do.
And
it's marked Northern U.S., a drinking fountain. Yes, it's a regional term, and Wisconsin does fall in northern U.S., yes.
Yeah, we thought it was just Wisconsin. People in Illinois would say, what are you talking about?
But Joan or someone over at DARE could tell you exactly where. My guess it probably creeps into Minnesota, too, but...
Yeah. How about, here's one that's timely, the Easter egg. Now, why is that new?
Of course, the primary sense of an Easter egg is not new. That's been around forever. It's the extended sense, which refers to a hidden feature that you'd find, for example, in a DVD or a video game. Video game makers would. If you entered a correct sequence of codes or something, something special would pop up. Or even computer software. I remember there was an old Lotus 1-2-3, old spreadsheet application. If you entered the right sequence of numbers, a flight simulator would pop up. And these little extra gifts or prizes are called Easter eggs.
Yeah. We have a number of people who have called in with various, we heard in our last half hour, what about Bushism, somebody else, Bushy or Bush League. Everybody wants to talk about words derived from President Bush's name. You want to repeat why you don't necessarily include those?
This is a term that, because he's still currently in office, people are going to be using these terms, and the real test to see if whether or not it's a word that's going to have staying power is whether they're not they stick around after he leaves office, and not just for a month or two, but, you know, for several years. And also, in many of these cases, you're just taking his name and adding productive suffix or prefix to it, so that if you know the meaning of that suffix or prefix, all of which are entered herein, then you'll be able to immediately figure out what it is when it's attached to a specific name.
Well, here's another one that I'm a little bit hesitant to bring on because it deals with very current event. Tom in Madison, hi, go ahead.
Yeah, yesterday I was on the computer and I heard what this Emus or Emus was that
Don Emus.
What he said, and I says, I wonder what that means. And I tried to look it up, and I still wasn't satisfied with what I found, what the meaning of that term was.
Was it in the dictionary that you
looked? Really. You know?
Well, it depends on what dictionary you use. Those words are in, at least they're in ours. And, you know, with most terms, a lot of it is context, a lot of it is collocation. Very clear from his context that he was making very racist remarks. You take a word like ho, for example. When we enter ho, we either mark it as slang. There are other words that we would mark as vulgar slang or offensive, and we put notes where necessary. So, remember, there's more than one dictionary out there, and there's a good chance that unless you recently purchased yours, yours could be several years old, and some of these terms might not be in there.
Yeah, and at the risk of offending people, we are again repeating words in the news right now that Don Imus is in trouble for. But
right.
Our guest was specifically not just ho, but nappy headed. Is
right.
That such a is that a real word or phrase?
Well, you can put anything together, and the word nappy itself has a. You'll find it in literature going back to centuries, and nappy itself means how a carpet has a nap.
Mm-hmm.
A shag carpet has a more of a nap than a flat mat carpet. So one sense of nappy means having a nap or fuzzy. It also, in referring to hairstyles, can mean kinky or frizzy. And when you use it in compounds, we don't have the compound nappy headed,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell how, a word like that, especially when modifying a word like ho, would obviously be an extremely racist thing. We have the individual words, and here's a case where you put them all together. What's making it racist or offensive is the context in which you say it. That can be said of... you can take almost any word and somehow make it offensive by putting it in a context. Offense comes, on the part of the person saying the word.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take a very benign word and make it extremely hurtful just by the words that you put it in context with.
Yeah. Do you include profanity in the dictionary?
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. Obviously. Mm-hmm. It's a word. Mm-hmm. They're all in there. Now, it's interesting. We have the college dictionary. We also put out a high school dictionary, which is identical to the college dictionary, except it's got the obscenities and slurs taken out of it. So exact same content, exact same information. There's just, several, probably a couple hundred fewer entries. So for families who, for whatever reason, don't want a dictionary with the F word and everything else in it, if they got the American Heritage High School Dictionary, they would be getting the exact same thing as the American Heritage College Dictionary minus the offensive words.
Our guest is Steve Klein-Edler. He is the assistant project editor for the American Heritage College Dictionary, the fourth edition. There's a new updated edition out with 100 new words. We're talking about some of those new words and how new words make it into the dictionary. And we are welcoming your questions and perhaps your examples of new words or phrases. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Tuesday, April the 10th. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 7, should Wisconsin join the list of states calling for the impeachment of President Bush? We will talk with a state legislator who has introduced a resolution calling for just that. And then after 7:30, a legislator who opposes the joint resolution. That's coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. We are talking about new words in our language and new words being added to the American Heritage College Dictionary. Our guest, Steve Klein-Edler, is the senior editor of the American Heritage Dictionaries. And again, 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question about the dictionary business and how words get added and how words perhaps get dropped, new words that you've been hearing that you wonder if they've made it into the dictionary or not. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Leon in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Leon. You're on the air.
Hi. When you mentioned speed dating as a new word, I kind of thought that speed dating was a trademarked term and like a business term. And so I was kind of wondering about the business of how business trademarks end up becoming words in the language.
Right.
Also because in my office we had a little discussion not too long ago about how nobody seems to use the word Xerox to mean photocopy anymore.
Right.
That seems to be a change that happened. So I was just wondering if you could comment a little bit about that.
Right. The term speed dating itself is not a trademark. There are various kinds of speed dating. I believe 8-minute dating, for example, I think that's the one, is a trademark. We have to be very careful. Trademark protectors are, of course, very protective of their copyright. And when a word such as Xerox is entered into the dictionary, it is defined as a trademark for such and such. We have to do that for legal reasons, which, of course, involves, you know, research when we enter a term. But speed dating itself is generic. There are different types of speed dating that are trademarks, and you know, those we don't enter. It is interesting about Xerox.
Mm-hmm.
It is a trademark, and it does. I remember, you know, in the 70s and 80s, it seemed to be used far more as in a non-trademark form, you know, as a verb, you know, I Xeroxed this or what have you. Perhaps it's because of the rise of so many competitors, and when people use copy machines, they aren't necessarily using a Xerox machine anymore. Perhaps it's because Xerox has expanded its business beyond copiers into document retention and all kinds of other things. You're right. I think that's a good observation. Why that's the case, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that is interesting. I never thought of that. What about Google?
Google is also a trademark, mm-hmm. So we enter it as a trademark for an internet search engine. And granted, you can verb. People use Google as a verb, and in some cases, we will mention. For example, we say Google, a trademark used for an internet search engine. This trademark occurs often in print as a verb, sometimes in lowercase, because the media is doing that, and we are pointing that out, but you know, legally we have to say that it's a trademark.
Yeah. Jim in New Berlin is with us now. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning. I've been paying attention for a few years, and over 99% of the time, people on radio and television and other places say gonna, G-O-N-N-A, instead of going to.
Well, that's because you're looking at speech rather than writing, and the more rapidly you speak, phonetically, items start collapsing or shortening. You know, a lot of full vowels become schwa, for example. If I were giving a speech at a lectern, I would probably speak more cautiously, more carefully, slowed down. But I defy you to go onto the radio and speak for an hour off the cuff. You've probably heard me make many of speech errors myself. You'll notice a minute ago I corrected myself because I said internet instead of an internet, that kind of thing. Your brain doesn't always know what you're going to say next, and when you speak rapidly, it is just a natural facet of language. Things get clipped, things get shortened. It's just part of the process of speech. So yeah, you will hear radio announcers say that. If they're speaking slowly and carefully, they might not. Other times, that's just how English works.
Yeah. We're going to go on to another caller
thank
now,
you.
Jim. I'm just thank you for bringing that up. Mike in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I was just wondering if you guys included the gaming term noob, like N-E-W-B or N-O-B.
Noob.
Yeah.
No, we do have newbie. We don't have noob, although that's there's a lot of leet speak stuff that we haven't entered because it's pretty confined to gamers, Buffy audiences,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
What's a noob?
Well, a newbie. so, I mean, I would love to put in woot, spelt, lowercase w, capital O-O-T,
right.
But, that's probably not going to happen. It's too segmented, the demographic of that. I mean, if the New York Times and the L.A. Times and the Tribune and a wide variety, Sassy and Glamour and Cosmopolitan and all these started using it, if it's just Blender, probably not.
Huh.
So.
Okay.
But we do have
noob. I bet you could say noob to pretty much anybody and they know what it was.
Noob?
Yeah,
that might just be that might be the company that you keep. I don't think I didn't.
I mean, once it was explained, it was short for newbie. I knew what it meant, but
yeah.
Just
I
hearing
think
noob,
out of
I
context,
didn't.
most people probably wouldn't. Although certainly, you have to be careful. I mean, these are words that I'm familiar with, but I hang around with a lot of Unix geeks and whatnot. So you have to objectively look at really is this beyond a very small segment of society or not.
Well, just gamer is, I bet you that's in there, isn't it?
I think we've done a lot of, with role play, gamer, yes. Yes, one who plays a game, especially a role-playing or a computer game. I think that's relatively new. We may have added that back in 2000. But yeah, there's an entire vocabulary of gamer speak that could be put in, but it's just too slangy.
Yeah, I see here that you even add proper names or real people.
Right.
Stephen Harper, a Canadian politician who
right.
served as prime minister since 2006, is in there.
Right, that's an example of we try to certainly all the presidents are there. We have some prominent people from different fields. We list the Canadian prime ministers. We've just recently put in Roberts and Alito from the Supreme Court, for example. Yes, so we do include some biographical and geographical information. When Serbia and Montenegro split up, that involves revising Serbia and Montenegro, and Yugoslavia has been a source of many lexicographical changes over the past decade.
Yeah. What about, I see here one of the words on my list here of the 10 of the new words, Bosniak.
Yes. That was interesting. Obviously, the term is old, and again, this all has to do with the breakup of Yugoslavia. But what was interesting about Bosniak is that the two different senses, we put this in because it was used in other definitions because it had different meanings at different periods in time. So the second example, the first sense is a member of a people descended from Slavs from Bosnia who converted to Islam during the period of Ottoman rule. But then there's another sense, an inhabitant of Bosnia without regard to religious identity, especially prior to the mid-19th century. And the reason this is important is when you're reading material about the region, especially the volatility in the 90s, it's important to know you know, what you're talking about, and depending on when a document was written, it could have these different meanings. And it's, this is just a really good example of how words shift over time, and we felt it was important to show that, you know, this word, which currently is tied to a religious and an ethnic identity, wasn't always tied to the religious identity. So it was worth pointing out.
And here's one that I hadn't heard a lot about, maybe because I don't live in Arizona. I've heard of a snowboard in Wisconsin, but not a sandboard.
Oh, yeah. There's this sandboarding is one of those. There's a lot of extreme sport type mm-hmm. stuff. We didn't add it all, but we added a lot. Yeah, sandboarding is where you're it's like a snowboard, but you're going down sand dunes. You're right. You're probably not going to see much of that in Wisconsin or even in Indiana in the dunes or anything. But, yeah, out west, one hears of it quite a bit. You can find a lot of information about this. So.
We have less than a minute to go, and I meant to ask you. I see you have an online version
right.
of your dictionary. How has the internet changed the dictionary business?
Well, it's changed in that it's made the information far more easy to access. We license our product to several different resources on the internet. So often when you go to some of these dictionary sites, you're getting our definition, in fact. And with the new edition of the American Heritage College Dictionary, we provide a registration card where you can access the content. You can download it onto your hard drive or access it directly. And that content is all of the content of our deluxe dictionary. So when you buy the print college, you can actually get the content of the much larger, more comprehensive deluxe electronically at the same time.
Yeah, we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. There,
all
you
right.
have a website, ahdictionary, all one word, .com.
Yep.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Steve Klein-Edler, senior editor of the American Heritage Dictionaries. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing the hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.